Translation: O son of Surabhi, you need lament no longer now. There is no need to fear this low-class Shudra. And, O mother cow, as long as I am living as the ruler and subduer of all envious men, there is no cause for you to cry. Everything will be good for you. Purport. Protection of bulls and cows and all other animals can be possible only when there is a state ruled by an executive head like Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit addresses the cow as mother, for he is a cultured, twice-born Kshatriya king. Surabhi is the name of the cows which exist in the spiritual planets and are especially reared by Lord Sri Krishna himself. As men are made after the form and features of the Supreme Lord, so also the cows are made after the form and features of the Surabhi cows in the spiritual world. In the material world, the human society gives all protection to the human being, but there is no law to protect the descendants of Surabhi, who can give all protection to men by supplying the miracle food, milk. But Maharaj Parikshit and the Pandavas were fully conscious of the importance of the cow and bull, and they were prepared to punish the cow killer with all chastisement, including death. There has sometimes been agitation for the protection of the cow, but for want of pious executive heads and suitable laws, the cow and the bull are not given protection. The human society should recognize the importance of the cow and the bull and thus give all protection to these important animals, following in the footsteps of Maharaj Parikshit. For protecting the cows and the Brahminical culture, the Lord, who is very kind to the cow and the Brahmanas, Go Brahmana Hitaya, will be pleased with us and bestow upon us real peace. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Vancha Kalpa Trubhascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Thank you for allowing me to speak on the Vyasa San. I hope I don't make you fall asleep too quickly. And I also ask for your blessings to speak something of value to myself and for others. And thank you again. So, just 1 second. So I'd like to recite some glorification that we all probably know, some prayers that we all know together. And this is Krishna Vasudevaya verse. Does everyone know that? Okay, so we'll do it together as well, just in case. You can repeat after me. Krishnaya Vasudevaya.
Krishnaya Vasudevaya.
Krishnaya Vasudevaya.
Krishnaya Vasudevaya.
Devaki Nandanaya cha.
Devaki Nandanaya cha.
Nanda Gopa Kumaraya.
Nanda Gopa Kumaraya.
Govindaya Namo Namaha.
Govindaya Namo Namaha.
Let me therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has become the son of Vasudeva, the pleasure of Devaki, the boy of Nanda, and the other cowherd men of Vrindavan, and the enlivener of the cows and senses. One more verse, we probably all know, but we'll go through it together. Namo Brahmana Devaya.
Namo Brahmana Devaya.
Namo Brahmana Devaya.
Namo Brahmana Devaya.
Go Brahmana Hitaya cha.
Go Brahmana Hitaya cha.
Jagatitaya Krishnaya. Jagatitaya Krishnaya. Govindaya namo namaha.
Govindaya namo
namaha. My Lord, you are the well-wisher of the cows and the brahmanas, and you are the well-wisher of the entire human society and the world. So we can see from these two verses that Krishna is intimately connected to the cows. It's his pet. In nearly all pictures of Krishna, there's a cow laying in the background. There's a cow at his feet. He's maybe upstairs in the meeting room, as the brahmacharis know, there's a cow at his feet, cow licking his hand like this also. He's always petting the cows also. So we also, in the material world, they have pets. Krishna also has pets. These pets are transcendental. They're not, you know, ordinary pets. And Krishna's in love with the cows. His home is called Goloka. And anyone know what Goloka means? Planet. Planet of the cows. Go, cow, and Loka, planet. Or a place. Goloka. So he lives in a planet of cows. And when he comes down, he also brings those cows with him. Just as we go on holiday, we bring the pet. We leave it at home, but we're not like that attached. So we have a lot of words in ISKCON tradition, in Vaishnava tradition, starting with G-O. Can anyone say, for example, Gopal, go. It has the word cow. Yeah, Govind. Okay? Please shout out anything that begins with go.
Gopi.
Gopi. Govardhan. Gokulananda, Gopinath, Goku. So, Goloka, especially. What does Gopi mean? Cowherd girl, maid servant of the cows. Gopal, what does Gopal mean? Protector of the cows, cowherd boy. Goloka, as we discussed, is the planet of the cows. Govinda, what does Govinda mean? One who gives pleasure to the cows. Gokula. Yes, one who pleases the cow. No, sorry, refers to the place where the cows are protected and are safe. Goshala. Hut or house of the cows. Govardhan. I didn't know that one actually. One who gives shelter, is that correct? Govardhan, what does it mean? Anyone know? I think yeah, that's right. One who gives shelter to the cows. So as we know from many verses about Govardhan, he's always supplying cows and cowherd boys with food and water, all sorts of lovely activities for them to play. So in this way, where are we going also? Where have we been taught to... In our japa meditation, where are we thinking about? What is our aim? What is our goal? It's also Goloka Vrindavan. We're going to a planet of cows. It's crazy. It's amazing, isn't it? Our aim, our destination, is to go to a planet of cows. Because Krishna loves them. And because Krishna loves them, we must protect them. We must also love what Krishna loves. When you love another person, for example, you love your best friend, you love your mother, whatever they like, whatever they love, you also find very attractive. You also love. Because you love them. As soon as, for example, you're a mother and you have a baby, but the baby's kind of ugly, still, because of love, You love the baby, and you think that the baby is beautiful. Even the poo, even the urine, everything about that baby is beautiful because of your love and affection for that baby. Just parenting tips out there, I'm kidding. So, we learn just a brief summary. Maharaj Parikshit has conquered the world, and he now sees his citizens being affected by influence of Kali. So he's angry, he's disappointed, and he's going to go out. As we learn, he takes his sword and bow and arrow, and he goes out to fight. The Dharma bull then meets the cow, and they start having a conversation. He sees her in distress, she sees him in distress also, and they start to glorify the Supreme Lord. The mother cow starts to glorify the Supreme Lord after she describes her separation from Krishna, which is the main reason of her suffering. Then Maharaj Parikshit arrives at Lake Saraswati, as we know, and he sees Kali. He sees the Shudra dressed as a king, attacking and beating the legs of the bull and the cow simultaneously. That's what it says in the verse. Then also, we hear in the Bhagavatam, just a few verses before, that he is now talking, he talks to Kali, he chastises Kali in a very deep voice, as in, that's probably what my imagination is. But he chastises Kali very, very deeply, very thunderly, like. And now he is talking to the mother cow. He's saying, "O mother cow, as long as I'm living and I'm the subduer of all envious men, you need not fear anything. There's no cause for you to cry." So in this presentation, I'd like to discuss what is actually the truth of Surabhi, what is a cow, what is the value of a cow, what is the glorification that the Vedas speak about in relation to the cow as well, how is the cow glorified in the Vedas, the Brahmanas and demigods, how do they glorify the cow, how is she so important in not only material society but also spiritual society. And the main teaching which I wanted to go in depth into is actually Srila Prabhupada says, in the material world, the human society gives all protection to the human being, but there is no law to protect the descendants of Surabhi, who can give all protection to men by supplying the miracle food, milk. Actually, we know that it is our duty to protect the cows, but actually because we have that duty, because she's actually the one who's protecting us in the first place. It's our duty to the cow for many reasons, but main reason here, Srila Prabhupada is saying that they are protecting us. It's a mutual relationship. So there's a huge problem that Srila Prabhupada states in this purport. But Maharaj Parikshit and the Pandavas were fully conscious of the importance of the cow and bull, and they were prepared to punish the cow killer with all chastisement, including death. But now, as we see, that government there is completely different from this government now. We hear from Srila Prabhupada's lectures also that the Indian government is trying to save the cows, but India is one of the biggest distributors of cow meat in the whole world, where the philosophy took place in the first place, you see? So it's gone completely the other way around. When people are killing cows, we don't chastise them with death. We give them money. That's human society now. We're paying for this slaughter. So Srila Prabhupada talks about how we're investing millions actually to save dogs, but we're not doing anything for the cows. The dogs pee and poo on the street and cause all havoc for the people on the street, their own owners. But we're spending millions to protect them. And on the other side, cows, their urine and stool is so beneficial for human and spiritual society, and we're giving them to the slaughterhouse. So Krishna says, go raksha. And Srila Prabhupada said that means not pig raksha or dog raksha, that means cow protection. There's also the benefit of milk, not only cow urine and stool, but the benefit of milk. We're all drinking milk from the beginning of our lives, we're drinking milk, miracle food of milk. it's said by the other devotees in the other classes, you can just have one cup of milk every day and you'll survive. Because all nutrients, all amino acids, all those beneficial qualities that the human body needs is in that one glass of milk. And how much milk does Srila Prabhupada say we should have every day? Anyone know? 2 liters. There's a few devotees who like to do that. Not more than 2 cups. Not more than 2 cups. Anything more is rajasic, he says. Also. So we keep that portion light, and that will benefit us completely. So also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in a similar way Srila Prabhupada is chastising the government, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastises the Muslim government, Qazi, Jahan Qazi. The first meeting after they had a massive Harinam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was invited to the Qazi's house. And one of the first things Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said is, why are you eating your mother and your father? Why are you eating the mother and father? He challenged Qazi like this. Why are you eating your mother and father? And Qazi had some philosophical points. He was actually very, very wise in his own scripture. And Qazi came back. Why are you killing animals in sacrifices? So they had like an argument, or a nice argument at least. A debate. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, we're not killing animals. We're sacrificing animals, but giving them new life immediately. Just a taste, if the Vedas sacrificial fire, the mantras were said properly. We're doing it for that reason. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ends that conversation with one verse also. He chastises Qazi so much, but he ends that conversation with one verse. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, chapter 17, verse 166. And it's a disturbing verse. Go ange yata loma. Go ange yata loma. Tata sahasra vyat saraha. Tata sahasra vat sara. Go vadi rodava madye. Go vadi rodava madye. Pache nirantara. Pache nirantara. So this is the chastisement. The translation is, cow killers and cow eaters are condemned to rot in a hellish condition of life for as many thousands of years as there are hairs on the body of each cow they eat. So this is just this is Guru Sadhu Shastra. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying that if we eat a cow, the amount of hairs that is on the body of that cow, that's how many years we're going to into even worse prison in this material world, the hellish planets. So then the second thing that Srila Prabhupada mentions is the solution for this, is that protection of bulls and the other animals can only be possible when there is a state ruled by an executive head like Maharaj Parikshit. So as we know in the previous classes, we're all discussing the importance of having a good leader in society and what kind of society we have in today's world, which is terrible. With pious leaders, basically, the cow is protected because pious leaders know what is right and wrong. When the British wanted to conquer India, they took advantage of the fight between Muslims and Indians. Actually, they actually caused that fight in the first place, or aggravated that movement. But they actually asked the Indians or Muslims, why is India so opulent? India's not like it was today. Obviously, we know how India was like. Opulent, rich, and it got conquered several times by many, many different leaders of the world. But they asked, why is India so opulent? And the answer was, because they are having cows. Their worshipful deity is cows. So you attack the cows, you attack India. So that's what they did. They started attacking the cows. And India's opulence slowly broke down. Because wherever the cows are, is mentioned in the scriptures, there's a lot of opulence. You need one cow in your house, and you have an opulent house. You have everything you need to eat, drink, The cow will give you all protection, just like Srila Prabhupada says in the purport. And when I was reading that, I was like, I need a cow in my house also. But I'm in the Brahmacharya ashram. His mentality was different. So when we have great leaders, we see what they're doing right now, and we do have a great leader right now. And who's that great leader? Srila Prabhupada. And what has he done for the cows? He's given them, I think, how many goshalas are in ISKCON right now? Over 100. I'm not sure how many, but he's set up all these goshalas all around the world. And now, for example, when these goshalas are set up, their main objective is to take the cows before they get slaughtered and bring them into the farm. Actually, one of the main objectives, at least. And that's how they grow the farm in the first place, at least, as well. So they're saving the cows from slaughter. And this is only done, we have this available because of Srila Prabhupada. And why has Srila Prabhupada done this? Because he knows what is right and wrong. So actually, when we know what is right and wrong with knowledge, we also do the right thing. We have the right action. We know what is beneficial and what is harmful for the society, what is beneficial and harmful for ourselves also. So the main benefit or solution is to gain knowledge, So Srila Prabhupada says, which is the main point, the human society should now recognize the importance of the cow and the bull and thus give all protection to these important animals following in the footsteps of Maharaj Parikshit. So the solution is to recognize the importance of the cow. So we have to preach to others, just as we're doing in ISKCON, preach to others about the importance of the cow. We have many facilities and available meetings with very, very top-class people sometimes also, and we can inform them. This is the importance of the mother cow. But also we can practice that for ourselves. We can give them the knowledge. So when we talk to these people who are in power, which is what Srila Prabhupada would like to do, the first thing he always is discriminated, what is a cow, what is a human? And he especially is told, the cows and the animals, they have souls. That's the main atheist teaching, at least to help those in the beginning stages of their life. Cows and animals have souls. And how would he establish that? He looked at the similarities. A human being, he has four propensities, and the animal has four propensities. Eating, cow eats, human eats. Sleeping, cow sleeps, human sleeps. Mating, animals and cows, animals eat, animals mate, and the human mates. And defending, the animals are known for their defensive mechanisms, and the humans also have huge bombs everywhere. So the propensities are the same. But Srila Prabhupada goes even further, and he says that there are six stages of life. And those six stages of life are also similar in animals and humans. First stage is birth. Animals take birth, humans take birth. Second stage is growth. Animals grow, humans grow. Animals also stay. The third stage is staying for some time. They also just carry on with their activities. And the human also carries on with their activities. Animals reproduce, human reproduces. Animals dwindle. You can see animals sometimes also grow gray hair and things like that. And the humans also grow gray hair. Animals die, human dies. Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Shishi Gonitai ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So these are the six stages of life, and they're similar, animals and humans. So what is the difference? How can one say that animal doesn't have a soul? What is a soul? What is the position of the soul, firstly, is consciousness. Nothing can move or grow, dwindle, reproduce without having a soul in there in the first place. The tables aren't reproducing because they don't have the soul. The microphones aren't reproducing because they don't have the soul. But if they had a soul, they could reproduce. Think about it like that. If they So we also know, as not just atheist teaching, but Vedic teaching, Vaishnava teaching, that everyone is a child of Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada also mentions that to the high-end political people, everyone is a child of God. And they know that from their scriptures also, from the Christian Bible. And in the Bhagavad Gita it says, 5.8, the humble sages by virtue of true knowledge see with equal vision a learned and gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and dog-eater, outcast. So in the Bible, they're trained to try and see everyone as a child of God, but they don't take that seriously. They change the commandments, thou shalt not kill, turns to thou shalt not murder, because they think that the animals are of a lower species, and humans have intelligence. And then also in the Vaishnava teachings, we're told to make sure that we also believe that everyone is a child of God. And this is stated in this Bhagavad Gita verse. And to state it even further, in Vaishnava teaching, we hear that we have seven mothers. Anyone want to cite the seven mothers? Anyone remember? Roberto Prabhu?
Okay, the mother that gave you birth. The Brahmana's wife, the king's queen of the state, the nurse, mother earth, mother cow, and did I miss one?
Mother.
Guru, and guru's mother.
Guru's? Guru wife. Guru's wife. Wife. Teacher's wife. So this is what we're taught. So not only is a cow an animal, cow is very, very important, it's a child of Krishna. As well, the animals not only are they having souls, but they're also children of Krishna, and the cow is our mother. So Chankazi is getting chastised. Why are you eating your mother? It's a horrible thing to do. She's giving you milk from the day you're born, and this is they think that this is civilization. It's what Srila Prabhupada says, that we're killing our own mothers and thinking that we're going to be peaceful. We're killing our own mothers and thinking that we're a civilized society. Actually, there's a lot more that mothers are not just, cows are not just mothers or animals as well. They are glorified a lot in the Vedas. And so I'll just go over just a few glorifications of the cows. In the Brihat Parasara Smriti, it is written, simply by eating grass, the cows give us milk. From milk, ghee is produced, by which demigods become satisfied. So how can one neglect the cow? Simply by her association, a person becomes purified. As anyone said, you know, there's also these goshalas doing cow therapy nowadays. You come and take the children to the goshala, they start to learn how to milk the cow, touch the cow, play with the cow, even if they're small children. And why are they doing this? Because actually, having that association with the cow changes your subconsciousness. It purifies your subconsciousness. We're also trying to do that in America. And one of the lectures, they were saying, if you're ever sad, upset, spend time with the cows. See what happens. Because they uplift you. They are made of pure goodness. There's animals in different kinds of modes. Cows are in mode of goodness. So you hang out, or you spend time with someone who has amazing consciousness, like your spiritual master, like Srila Prabhupada, and his consciousness will uplift you. Similarly with the cows, their consciousness will also uplift us. We can spend time with them and have this cow therapy. Simply by her association, a person becomes purified. By serving her, one achieves unlimited wealth. We're seeing in the Vedic scriptures that the cow's body is full of demigods. So by worshipping the cow, what are you doing? Worshipping the demigods. When you worship demigods, what happens? You become opulent materially. This is just in the Vedas, not Vaishnava teachings, but you have unlimited wealth serving the cows. And by donating the cows, one can transfer himself to heaven.
Boo.
There is no wealth superior to the cow. All demigods reside in the different parts of her body. By serving the cow with devotion, Lord Hari becomes pleased. Her milk nourishes human beings. How can such a cow not be worshipped? So this is said in the Vedas, that her milk nourishes human beings. It's said in the Vedas, her milk nourishes human beings. There's evidence that human beings are dependent on cow's milk. Evidence in the Vedas, human beings are dependent on cow's milk. But we see in society, different kind of social situations, a lot of different groups who say, don't take the milk of the cow. You're hurting her children, separating the children. These things are, for sure, they're truthful in to a certain degree. Because actually in one farm in America, it was told that after the mother cow has given the child all the milk she could possibly give the child, she lined up to get milked by the men, by the devotees. And after she got milked by the devotees, she came to the back of the line and got milked again. This shows her desire to give milk to the human beings. We depend on her milk. And not only do we depend on her milk, she wants to protect us by giving us the intelligence that we need to understand finer things in spiritual life. The Rig Veda echoes the same. The mother of the cosmic powers, the daughter of the beings of light, the sister of the sun gods, the navel center of truth. I speak to those who are aware, do not harm the cow. In so doing, you harm earth and all of humanity. Mahatma Gandhi said, to me, the cow is the embodiment of the whole infra-human world. She enables the believer to grasp his unity with all that lives. To protect her is to protect all the creatures of God's creation. And an incarnation of Krishna also says something about cows, Parshuram. In Gomati Vidya, he says, wherever the thirsty cow drinks water from, that body of water is as good as Ganga, Yamuna, Sindhu, and Saraswati. In the body of the cows, all holy places and rivers are present. Lakshmi Devi is residing in the dung of the cows. Simply by the cow's touch and her sight, she purifies all living entities. Among all purified objects, she is the most pure. And among all auspicious objects, she is the most auspicious. Has anyone tried to catch the tail of a cow? What are we told that happens to us when we catch the tail of a cow? Very auspicious. We get all sorts of good fortune just by catching the tail of the cow. I was told that when I was a kid. But there's massive gates now. So I can't go inside the Goshala. But whenever we have a chance, try and catch the tail of the cow. I'm not sure about the bull, don't try. The cow is the one you want to go for. You want to catch that mercy. So Srila Prabhupada says, which is the point we're talking about right now, the descendants of Surabhi who can give all protection to the men by supplying the miracle food, milk. So we understood that babies need milk, we humans also need milk, and the cows also want to protect us. As we know, Surabhi is the name of the cow. Actually, this is the creation of the cow. The first cow ever created by Krishna is a Surabhi cow. It was there's a story behind that. I didn't want to go into it because it wasn't authorized scripture. I didn't see it in the Vaishnava scriptures. But that cow also produced billions of cows. And from those billions of cows come. So that first cow is Surabhi, who's in the spiritual world. And we also have knowledge that she is protecting us. But not only can she protect us, she can protect the demigods. There's a story in Krishna Katha of Brahma, Indra, sorry, and he's thundering rain on the Govardhan Hill. And Krishna becomes very upset with him, obviously, but he knows that Indra is doing this out of ignorance. There's also a plan behind that. And Indra decides to apologize to Krishna. But he's informed Krishna is very upset. So actually, there's a way to pacify Krishna. You take a Surabhi cow, you keep it in front of you, and you approach Krishna with this cow. So Indra took the Surabhi cow, asked her gently, please come with me. And Surabhi, of course, wants to see Krishna. So they both go together, and Indra is now hiding behind Surabhi and approaching Krishna. He's trembling with fear. But as soon as Krishna sees Surabhi, he's pacified. And she drowns him in an ocean of milk, nectarian milk. How could, who could not be pacified? Especially Krishna, who could not be pacified with that? So Krishna becomes pacified. Gajendra also starts to water Krishna with some purified water, and Indra is saved, only because he took and hid behind the Surabhi cow. Also, when Krishna in the Leela, Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, Krishna just killed Putana. And the gopis saw, and Mother Yashoda, the Brajavasis, they saw Krishna playing on Putana's body. And they were very, very scared. Who would not be scared of seeing, I don't know how long her body was, 8 miles, 10 miles, something like this, and little Krishna sitting on her. And she's lying there, passed out. And what did they do? They started doing all these mantras to protect Krishna. They started chanting Vishnu's names. And what did they do? They started taking the cow dung and smeared it all over Krishna's body. They took the cow urine, smeared it all over Krishna's body. They took the cow, the dust kicked up by the hooves of the cow, and they smeared that dust all over Krishna's body. If Yashoda Mai, after that incident, she said that all I need to protect my child is the holy name and the dust of the cows. Holy name and the dust of the cows. All I need to protect Krishna is his own holy name, which is more powerful than Krishna, as we learn in our scriptures, and the dust of the cow. What can we do to protect ourselves? We can also chant the holy name and take shelter of Surabhi. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Please forgive me for any misconduct, any offenses or mistakes. Please allow me to take some questions as you so desire.
Prabhu, thank you very much. I'm looking forward to next my visit to Goshala to observe and worship the cow, as you said. I was thinking, like, usually when I'm thinking, like, it's mentioning to people in general about the cows, the importance of cow, because cows give milk. They could give an argument like, yeah, but there are other animals giving milk as well. So, you know, why would we have to protect cows? Why we don't protect other animals as well, like goats, sheep, I don't know. So do you have any comment on that, or?
Yeah. So yes, Srila Prabhupada mentions that other cows, they do give milk, but the potency of that milk is a lot more fat, there's a lot more, there's not the same quality and potency that the cow milk gives. The Shastra, they also say protect the cows and the Brahmins. They say that the other animals, they're there, protect them as much as possible, but there's the Vedas say that if there's low-class Shudras who can't eat vegetarian food, don't eat the cow, eat the other animals. Always say protect the cow. So actually it's mentioned by Srila Prabhupada, the importance of the cow's milk versus the importance of the bull's milk, for example, and the Shastras explain that one should always protect the cow, because a cow is the individual. Not only is she Krishna's very dear pet, but she gives us the intelligence to the brahmanas. She gives intelligence to the brahmanas to rule over, to guide society nicely. If the brahmanas don't have the cows, how will they get their spiritual intelligence? It's like cutting the head off human society. So in that sense, we should try and protect the cows.
So there are like lots of subtle benefits of the mother cow than other animals as well. Okay, thank you. Okay.
Jai Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai.